Well, good morning to everyone. Very thankful to be here with you for these few days. I've looked forward to this, and I'll have more introduction to say a little bit further in, but just a couple of things. I have known Kyle for probably 15 years now, and I've respected him for a long, long time, but I've grown to know him better and to love him, and very thankful to have this week with him. And the Ledbetters are just being better to me, pun intended, than I really deserve, but I really appreciate them putting me up this week and taking care of me. And Ken and Bobby Ford are members with us in Sulphur Springs and have been for, I don't know, 6 or 7 years now. I can't keep up. And I know you know and love them, and we certainly do too, and we're thankful that Ken is serving as one of our elders right now, too. So they send their greetings. I tried to persuade them to come. They didn't get to make it, but nonetheless, I know that you know and love them. And Trevor, I'm not connecting for some reason. So let's try it again. There we go. All right, thanks. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 is one of the richest chapters in the entire book of Romans, and that's hard to do. Romans is rich from beginning to end. And in this chapter, and Trevor, I just lost it again, so you may just have to, I may just have to point at you every now and then, and we'll do it that way. One of the things that is so wonderful about Romans chapter 8 is that it tells us about the triune God. The scripture just read in your hearing a moment ago mentions the Father and the Son and the Spirit. But as we look in Romans 8, there is a lot of emphasis on the work of the Holy Spirit. I'm doing a series at home right now called Walking in the Spirit. I'm doing one lesson a month as we go through the year. And this morning I want to talk to you about our life in the Spirit. So Trevor, if you go ahead to the next one there. And when we look in the New Testament and we see the work of the Father and the Son and the Spirit, what we learn is that our redemption from our sins, our transformation to be more like Jesus, and our eternal hope of glorification in heaven when we leave this world is connected to all three. If the Father God did not plan the plan of salvation, we would not have redemption. If the Son of God had not left human glory and been clothed in, or left heavenly glory and clothed in human flesh and done all that He did for us, we could not be saved. And if the Holy Spirit had not revealed the wonderful word of the Father, the work of the Son, and the balance of the plan of salvation, then we could not be saved. And in this lesson, we're going to talk about the Spirit's role in the work of redemption. Let's read the first four verses. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Notice the contrast between the Mosaic system, the Old Testament system, and the gospel of Jesus. A lot about the Mosaic system throughout the book of Romans and how that the gospel supersedes that. Verse 3, for what the law of Moses, what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, I want you to notice, I mentioned the triune God earlier, and the verses in our scripture reading earlier mentioned all three, but all three are mentioned here as well. Verse 2, we have the law of the Spirit of life. That's the Holy Spirit. In Christ Jesus, there's the Son. Verse 3, God did this work of redemption through His Son that He sent. All three are mentioned in very brief space in this passage. But there are three things about life in the Spirit that we'll look at in this text. And oh, by the way, there are sermon worksheets for every lesson today. And if you don't have one of those or want one of those, they're in the foyer in case you haven't had an opportunity to get one. The first of those is that he breaks our bondage. Go ahead, Trevor. He breaks our bondage. You know, you look at this and you see the work that he did for us in order to make us God's children. It's worded this way in verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus set us free from the law of sin and death. He breaks our bondage. This is Exodus language. How that we were slaves in sin, but redeemed in Christ. Yet here the way it's worded is that it is the law of the Spirit. Now, law and Spirit are oftentimes not seen as going together. But they do. Because the Spirit is the revealer of God's law. And here God's law, the gospel of Jesus. Go ahead, Trevor. Here we have God's law, which is the gospel of Jesus. And through the law of the Spirit, we have been set free. It is an emancipation. It is a liberation. It is a redemption. So that we have this hope that without what the Spirit has revealed would not be possible. Go ahead, Trevor. So the gospel sets us free. You know chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? For it is the power of God for salvation. It is the message of redemption. And the Holy Spirit is the one who revealed that message of redemption. He is directly involved in that way in saving us from our past, transforming us in our present, and giving us hope of eternal glory yet in our future. And his law supersedes that of the law of Moses, as we noticed in our reading just a moment ago. Verse 3, what the law couldn't do, the law of Moses couldn't do. Verse 2, the gospel, the law of the Spirit could do. So he breaks our bondage, which is a problem for us all, because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Chapter 3 and verse 23. Secondly, he also shapes our walk. Look at verse 4 again. So that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Have you ever wished that you could live up to God's holy expectations for you? That there would be no shortcomings, no deficiencies, no weaknesses. That you would go through life and you would never have a misstep. That you would never need repentance because you have not sinned. But rather, in everything you've done, you have honored your Father in heaven above. Every faithful child of God, we wish that I had just described our lives. But I didn't. I just described something that we have not lived up to entirely. Again, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So what is our hope? Our hope is that the Spirit shapes our walk so that as we go through life with our flaws and our deficiencies, He strengthens us. And though we never reach flawlessness as we go in this world, we do grow more to become like the Son of God, as the Spirit strengthens us through His holy word. Again, back in chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, you know these verses inside and out. In verse 17 it says that the righteous live by faith. And that's not just the idea that we go from being spiritually dead to spiritually alive, from lost to saved, but that's the idea that as a saved people, now by faith, our manner of life is shaped to become more of what God wants us to be. I talk to people over and over, and they talk about the struggles that they have as they go through this world. And all of us have struggles as we go through this world. But the reality is, as we spend time in the Word of God, practicing the will of God, which is revealed by the Holy Spirit in this book, then that helps us to live more like God would have us live. But the reality is, go back to chapter 5 for a few moments. The reality is that part of how God strengthens us through the holy word of God is that we live in an uncertain world and we struggle and we strive and we must lean by faith upon the teaching of the word of God because We walk by faith and not by sight. And what we see is often very disheartening to us. Look at chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. So that's redemption from our past. That's forgiveness of our sins. Whatever we've done in the past through the blood of Jesus is forgiven. And the Holy Spirit in His Word teaches us how we come to that redemption. But let's keep going. Verse 3. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, in our struggles, in our trials, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. And perseverance, proven character. And proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Now, if the last year and a half hasn't taught us tribulation, hardship, struggle, heartache, trials, if it hasn't taught us that, I don't know what it has taught us. But the reality is, whether it's 2020 all the way up to this point in 2021 or whatever it may be, the tribulations, the trials, the struggles we go through in life, God can use those if we follow the teaching of the Spirit. God can use those to shape our walk. For example, 2020 helped a lot of us see our mortality a little bit more clearly. Whether it's through personal health crisis or whether it's through someone we love so dearly. Maybe even loss of life of someone that we love dearly. We've all lost people that we've loved in the last year and a half in ways that were unexpected to what in years before that we would have ever dreamed. It's taught us our own mortality. But I hope that one of the things it's also taught us is our need for our brothers and sisters in Christ to love each other, to pray for each other, to encourage each other, to set examples for each other, and to help each other in whatever trial we may face as we go through this world. I hope that it's also taught us to lean on the instructions of the Spirit in the Word of God and the promises of the Spirit in the Word of God, so that as we see and we experience so many things in the world, we don't live based on what we see with our eyes or experience physically. We live based on the instructions and the promises of the Holy Word of God. Those are our strength. Those are what are to shape our walk, and thus to build in us perseverance and proven character and hope. Our hope is not about our lives in this world. Our hope is about our eternity in the presence of God. Our hope is not about eternally living here. Our hope is about living for God here and shining His light in everything that we strive to do, in anticipation that one day God will take us home. And all the saved of all the ages will gather around the throne of God and praise Him throughout all eternity. The Holy Spirit, through the teaching of God's Word, would shape our walk so that it is for that hope we live, and it is in that hope that we live. But then there's one more. The Holy Spirit transforms our hearts. And in that way, He gives us life. Now, the heart in the Bible is kind of a complex subject. It always involves the mind. You can't separate it from the mind. But it also involves the passion. It involves the zeal. It involves the drive. It involves what you get so worked up about. And we all get worked up about something. Dallas Cowboy football, 3-something this afternoon. Why I get worked up? I don't know. I grew up a Cowboy fan. They've broken my heart many times, especially the last 20-something years. But anyway, we all get worked up about something. We're all passionate about something. But I tell you what, the thing we really need to be passionate about is not anything of this world. Not our sports, not our money, not our recreation, not our politics, not our personal opinion. What we need to get worked up about is the holy will of God and the revelation of who Jesus is and what we are to be and the teaching of the Holy Spirit, and to absorb it like a sponge and then use that to water the world. The soil of the hearts of men and women that you know so desperately needs to be sown and watered with the Word of God. And they can't do it by themselves. The Holy Spirit, through the teaching of God's Word, would shape our hearts so that first things truly are first in our lives. And that everybody can tell that when we come walking down the street, the most important thing about me, the most important thing about you, is nothing about this world, but it's all about God's holy will. Now, looking at these verses, come down to verse 5. We haven't even read these verses yet. Chapter 8, verse 5. For those who are according to the flesh, they have a fleshly, a worldly, a this world first concept about life. Those who are according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. I want you to notice the things they are passionate about are the things they set their minds on. But those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. That is, if we are passionate about God and about His will and about serving the Lord and shining the light of the Lord, it will be because we have set our minds on spiritual things. Okay, what do you spend most of your day in your leisure time? What do you spend most of your day watching, listening to, reading, enjoying, participating in? What is it? Whatever that is, that's where your heart is. And if that which is first in your life is not, I'm living for the Lord and I'm trying to make a difference in the will of the Lord in the hearts and lives of my brothers and sisters in Christ, if that's not what's first, priorities need to change. The heart needs to get in a different spot. By thinking about the most important things. If those things that we're passionate about, if it's not, I need to take the gospel to some lost soul, my neighbor, my relative, my enemy, my coworker. If that's not what we're passionate about, then we need to get our minds in a different spot so our hearts will be in the right spot. Are we more concerned about the flesh, about this world and its concerns, or are we more concerned about the spiritual, holy will of God? I know I've run out of time. Give me just a couple more minutes. Verse 6, for the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. So He transforms. He shapes our hearts through the holy Word of God. Let's just keep going, Trevor. And He produces spiritual mindedness in us. As our mind shifts from this world to things eternal, He produces the spiritual mind in us. And notice all the things that it impacts. Let's just run the whole list here. Notice all the things that it impacts, which would be an entirely different sermon. Our spiritual focus, our spiritual life, our view of the world and sinful things. We will be repulsed by sinful things if our hearts are attuned to the will of God as revealed by the Spirit. Our walk, our sense of belonging, our hope, and even our prayers are all impacted as our minds are set on the things revealed by the Holy Spirit. My friends, the Holy Spirit, along with the Father and Son, has made life possible for us by breaking our bondage, by transforming our walk and by shaping our hearts. And this life in the Spirit, one last click, this life in the Spirit is also mentioned in a very similar way in Galatians 5. If we live by the Spirit, let's also follow the Spirit. If we are spiritually alive because of the teaching of His Word, then let's follow the teaching of His Word in the way we live our lives. Thank you for your kind attention.